Blog Talk Radio.
Said that one day when Benjamin Franklin concluded one of his moving and spectacular speeches on the guarantees of the Constitution of the United States, well, someone from the crowd shouted out, and this is kind of paraphrased, right, them words don't mean nothing. All that talk about happiness, where is it? When will it happen? Where is all this happiness you say the Constitution guarantees? So Benjamin Franklin just smiled and looked up at the crowd and looked at the patriot and gently spoke. My friend, the Constitution only guarantees the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it for yourself. So actually, Ben Franklin was right. Happiness, even joy, pleasure, whatever you want to call it, they're out there. But we must make a diligent effort to capture it for ourselves. Good day, greetings to all you listeners out there. And welcome to If These Things Be So. My name is Rose Hart, and we will talk a little bit about happiness today as it pertains to Scripture. And how we pursue it, why we pursue it, and the results of pursuing happiness. We welcome you to the show. And you know, this is an open-air program. We invite you to speak and talk and give your comments and ask your questions and to be an actual participant, an active participant. And not just to hear, which we appreciate and encourage, but we want to hear what you have on your mind. These topics and discussions are things that pertain to all of us. They're not exclusively Christian. They're not exclusively non-Christian, although we do take a Christian perspective. But most of the things that we talk about pertain to all of us. And we want to invite you to be a part of and share. And as we share together, we can learn from each other. We can give and take and look at things from another point of view. Sometimes on this particular topic, pursuing happiness can be done in millions and millions and millions of ways. There's, what, 7 point some billion people on this earth? And the pursuit of individual happiness varies. There may be some things that are alike, some things that are similar, some things that are totally different. But the ultimate goal is to pursue happiness, to receive it, and to enjoy it. So that's why when I say the word capture, you have to put forth effort and energy and time to actually capture something. It just doesn't fall into your lap, or it's just not a happen-by thing. You have to search and struggle and work at it in order to receive that happiness. And if you would like to be a participant as far as speaking or asking a question, when you dialed in to the 657-383-0361 number, just press 1 and our producer will cue you in. And if you're more shy or not inclined to be heard live, we encourage you also to still make your thoughts and comments and questions known by dialing 319-471-3074, text in your message, and the producer will also cue that message in where we can respond to it. And this is a broad topic, And as we know, happiness just doesn't fall into our laps usually. It's a work in progress. Remember some months ago the song by I think it was from Pharrell Williams, Happy. Clap along if you're happy because I'm happy. This is what I want to do. If this is what you want to do. And most people want to be happy, and that's all was so popular, and it made good sense if you ever listened to the lyrics. It talked about he's happy, but I kind of noticed he didn't say how or why, just the fact that he's happy. And most of the time when we're happy, we're just happy. We don't usually go into a long dissertation about how we got to be happy or why we are happy. We're just in the moment of happiness, and that's what we do. We seek happiness, and we look for it, and we search for it, and who doesn't want to be happy? Of course, you know, there are some who like to be miserable, and they are not happy unless they can make someone else miserable, but still in awe, they're still happy. If misery is their happiness, that's still their ultimate end. Some people may think that's kind of strange, and we notice it. You're never happy until you make everybody else unhappy. We've heard statements to that effect. But even babies want to be happy. Newborns, when they're unhappy from hunger, they cry. When they're unhappy from a soiled diaper, they cry. When they're changed, when they're fed, they're content. So even young infants, from the time we're born till adulthood, till old age, we are seeking happiness. Why is happiness so important? And I would definitely like to hear some comments on that. It's an easy question. Why do people want to be happy? And everybody knows that happiness usually results from our own choices. We just said that we have to seek it, we have to search for it. So we're making determined choices in order to achieve happiness, whatever it may be. And happiness is in degrees. Some people are happy over little things. Some people are happy over nothing. Some people are happy over lots of things. You know, happiness may not be the same for everybody. It may be in degrees. It may be in occurrences. Still happiness nonetheless. And what does it take to be happy? It may take something different for you. It may take something different for me. So our choices are very important. And there are many, many steps to achieve happiness. Many, many. Some good, some better, some not as good, some worse. Science prescribes happiness. It prescribes certain ways and methods and techniques to gain happiness. The Bible authorizes happiness. Religious orders endorse happiness. And so we would think that since happiness is something for everybody, then it should be accomplished and received by everybody. For example, when you get a good grade in school, when you have your favorite meal, when you see your favorite movie or a movie you've been longing to see for a while, when you receive something, when you receive an accomplished award, that brings happiness. You know, so when we think of happiness, we all have the common goal, but we have the different methods and sources and ways of achieving. You know, the Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, but cast your cares on Him. Well, a prayer might be, God, I want to be happy. Can you bring happiness to my life or show me how to achieve happiness? That's possible. And if we could always, 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 always be happy, would we take that choice? That's another question I would like someone to respond to. If we could always be happy, would we want to live our life that way? Something to think about, because we all enjoy happiness. In happiness, we have good feelings, nice feelings. We feel good. So is that something that we would want all the time, all the time, or no? So if you would like to respond to either of those questions, I would love to hear a response. You know, science, we were talking about science. And science and the Bible, the Christian Bible, tend to work together. And not only that, Dalai Lama has a prescription for happiness. Buddha has a prescription for happiness. And is one above the other? Is one way of happiness better than another way of happiness? Is there a difference, a problem between all these different perspectives of happiness? Or is it one ultimate goal? Science supports a person's life and choices that have a tremendous and a profound effect on an individual's happiness. How they feel, what they choose, how they go about achieving those choices affects happiness. You wouldn't think science has a say in this, but it does. You know, when you study science, there's a lot of scientific jargon, a lot of scientific verbalization and vocabulary. And science says that people have a hedonistic adaptation toward happiness. And now what in the world does that mean? You know, it's like basically, and we're all hedons, and not heathen, but hedons, H-E-D-O-N-S, hedons. And that basically means we're devoted to the pursuit of happiness and self-gratification. So that includes everybody, because as we said earlier, everybody wants to be happy. But what that says is basically after, you know, the initial rush of happiness, we soon adapt and we get over it, and we think that will make us happier, but it doesn't. You know, the as soon as we begin something and wow, you know how we say, oh, the newness is all gone, the feeling is gone, all of that. Well, actually brings that contentment. Is it the initial rush? Or later does it begin to wear off? And let me give you an example. Okay, it's summertime. It's summertime right now, and it's blazing hot. And in the Midwest, it's going to be even more blazing because of the humidity factor. So maybe, and I don't live in that area, but maybe it might be 80 degrees when we have a 200 humidity factor, you're just on fire. It's just so hot. And the humidity factor just makes the heat worse. And then you live in a dry climate, and 80 degrees is just 80 degrees. So either way, you're miserable. But you walk into an air-conditioned building, an air-conditioned room, and you feel great. It's wonderful. It's sensational. It's just lovely. But then after a few minutes later, you're just comfortable. You're no longer pleasurably elated because that feeling is all gone. Does that make sense? You're blazing hot, you get into that air, oh, man, it feels so good in here. And then after a few minutes, when your body becomes equalized, it's just, oh, okay. And you forget all that happy sensation and that feeling after a very short few minutes. So, is that real happiness or is that just, I'm comfortable? Does happiness last? Does it linger? So I kind of wonder, you know, what is happiness? The Dalai Lama says that one of the finest ways to achieve happiness is to have love and compassion for others. Is that right? Does that make sense? Of course it does. How happy you feel when you're able to help somebody. How happy you feel when you're able to do something good for someone that they couldn't do for themselves. And I'm not talking about the braggy talk about feeling, yeah, I did this and I did this, and yeah, if it weren't for me, they wouldn't have Christmas, and if it wasn't for me, they wouldn't be able to keep their car because I caught them all up 3 months payment behind. Not that kind, but a genuine love and compassion for others. Even Buddha says, reflecting on wisdom and learning, if that abounds, you let go of pain and worry and happiness can come in. Wow. And these things are very similar, if not the same, as what the Christian Bible says. There are over 800 verses or happy texts that talk about happiness, pursuing happiness, the result of happiness. And how many times do we even think about checking them out? Over 800. So that kind of tends to make me believe that if there's over 800 happy texts and happy verses, God intends for us to be happy at some point or in some ways of our life. Happiness. Wow. And sometimes we don't think of God as wanting us to be happy. And God just says, well, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But if he tells us to be happy and how to do that and why to do that, it would indicate, yeah, there's some happiness that's needed to be acquired. Now, what we do and how we do is a different story. So, callers, we're waiting for you. Texters, we're waiting for you because I know you have something to say about being happy. Right now, I'm very happy to present this show to you today. I'm very happy that you took time out. I'm very happy that you gave part of your time to listen to me speak on this topic of happiness. And happiness is not just an outward feeling of elation, but it's an inner feeling of satisfaction and gratitude. And when we pursue happiness, which is for ourselves, the outward work of happiness is to bring joy and happiness to someone else. And like I said, there are exceptions when people are happy when they're bringing misery to others. But most of the time, many, many times, much of the time, happiness is devoted to someone else's gratification, someone else's enrichment. And these different references and sources of knowledge, the Dalai Lama, the Buddha, the Bible, science, these are all words of truth. They all say the same thing. And that's because truth is truth. No matter from whom it's spoken, no matter by whom, no matter from what reference, truth is truth. You can't deny it. You might argue against it. You might not agree with it. You might not believe it. You might try to disprove it. But in the end, truth is truth. Truth is truth. And that's one of the verses in Scripture where Jesus says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. That's John 14:6. So have you ever been told the truth by someone and you try to disprove it till your ending days? Has there ever been a time when the person tells you something, you just flat out refuse? You just flat out refuse to believe. And I'm not talking about opinion, because sometimes truth and opinion can get confused and mixed up. But the absolute truth. And I'll just use an easy example. We all know the traffic light, red, yellow, and green. We all know red stop, yellow proceed with caution, slow down if you have to. And green is go. Have you ever had a conversation or normal conversation where a person says red means slow down? You can go, just make sure it's safe, just slow down. And they will argue you till the ending days that red means, it means stop, but you can go, you can just slow down. You don't really have to stop if it's safe to go. And that's what happens. You can argue that fact. You can argue it. And it's true. If no one's coming, you can sneak a turn or sneak a go. We see people running red lights all the time. We see it all the time. They know the truth of the red light, but they choose to ignore it. It's okay. I won't get a ticket. I won't hit anybody because I'll make sure it's safe. And a lot of times that yellow light, people speed up just to get through so they want to wait for the red light. And I know I have many times have gone fast on a yellow light when I know I should slow down and be prepared to stop. I want to make that light. And I know the truth of the yellow light. And then with the green light, we all know it means go. But just because you have your green light, does that mean you can go? Well, yeah, I have a green light so I can go. Well, what about the late pedestrians, the slow pedestrians walking by? Just go anyway? Well, my light's green. I should go? What about the other person from the other direction is running the red light? Just go? What about the ambulance driver? The siren is on. Just go? because it's green light. And you know, many times at that corner, cars are trying to race through so they don't have to stop for that siren. So we can find ways to argue against the truth. We can find ways to deny the truth. We can find ways to ignore the truth. But right now, from these few sources, science, Dalai Lama, Buddha, and the Bible, they all say the same thing. Happiness comes from happiness comes from pursuing the satisfaction and the gratification for others. And if we do that, we're going to be happy. You know, your child, and congratulations again to all you graduates. You just gave me another example. You are all happy and elated that graduation day has come. You were happy. Even though pursuing that diploma, that degree, brought misery, pain, heartache, sleeplessness, tears, reprimand, assignments, bad grades along the way, all of that. But when that day of graduation came and your name was called, I don't think you were thinking about all those miseries from the past. You were happy right now that you have accomplished a goal. You did, a lot of you have done that diploma for yourself, and a lot of you have done that diploma for your family or others. I'm the first person in my family to receive a high school diploma. I'm the first person in my family to even go to college, much less graduate. You see how you felt? You were able to present that diploma to your family. How happy they were. They were probably more happy than you. And that's what happiness is all about. You are happy in the midst, but your happiness comes secondary to someone else's. And I'm not saying all the time, when you've worked so hard at your job and you want to treat yourself, yes, that's happiness and self-gratification, and nothing's wrong with that. That's perfectly acceptable. Nothing wrong. And to indulge yourself once in a while, nothing wrong. It's perfectly permissible and acceptable by the sources that we just named. We can do that. We don't have to be mad or sad that we treated ourselves after long pursuits to that end. You worked overtime to receive that extra pay. You worked hard at your job to buy a new house, to buy a new outfit, to treat your children to Disneyland, to treat your children to a vacation. That took hard work and effort, and you were pursuing that. You pursued that diligently. And so when we seek happiness, there's a feeling of delightfulness, there's a sense of well-being, and there's a state of equilibrium and contentment. Excuse me, the qualities of happiness that we have, you know, it is the freedom to make choices. And there it is in a nutshell. We have the freedom to make choices that will bring about a state of equilibrium, that will bring about a sense of well-being, that will bring about a feeling of delightfulness. And so you may kind of wonder, what are some of the qualities of happiness? Well, we kind of touched on it. Being loved, being needed, acting in kind and compassionate and benevolent ways, seeing life as the greater picture, and realizing that you are a component part of life. and that your happiness in particular is directly related to your state of mind. Think about it. We have to think about the things that we do. We have to think about the things that we want. We have to set goals. We have to set priorities. And that's why the scripture says that we should have this mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to have that same mind, that same attitude, and we have to see people like Jesus does. And that scripture reference is Philippians 2, verse 5. When we have the right mindset, we have the right goals, the right attitudes toward things, we can accomplish so much. The impact of external events that happen our way, that's just part of it. You know, when you win the lottery, man, that's an external event that came your way. You did some pursuing. You purchased a ticket, or someone gave you a stack of tickets for a present, but you still had to scratch. You still had to turn it in. So you did some pursuing. And that's great. It makes us understand a little bit better that happiness doesn't just fall out of the sky. It doesn't just drop down. Some pursuits are more involved than others, but still they're pursuits nonetheless. And that's why we must make conscious, on-purpose decisions and efforts to jolt our own levels of happiness. And we do that by our thoughts and our own discerning awareness. We don't walk through this life, and we don't just participate in this life haphazardly. We have to make conscious efforts, conscious decisions. We have to discern what's going on around us and to us. And happiness is such a strong emotion that it seems to determine or affect much of our life. We want to be happy. Oh, I'm going to wake up and be miserable today. I'm going to make everybody else miserable. Most of us don't think like that. Many of us don't think like that. We determine ourselves, I'm going to have a good day despite my boss. I'm not going to let my boss tell me how I should feel. I'm not going to let my professors get me upset. I'm in charge of me, and I'm in charge of my emotions, and I choose to be happy, come whatever circumstance, come whatever may. And then that's when we start getting into joy. Even though in the midst of sorrow, we can still have a sense of joy and happiness and well-being. So, and then when we're not happy, when we're happy, the world is all right. Everything is right with the world. Nothing seems to be going wrong. But when we're happy, less happy, not everybody look out. Trouble and misery is on the way. Caller, I would love to hear what you have to say. Texter, I would love to hear what you have to say. Scripture contains so many verses, and we said that before. You know, delight yourself in the Lord. You know the songs, all the songs start out, blessed is the person, happy is the person. And those are just part of it. You know, so many things can make us happy, you know, money, friends, cars, family, material, all of that. Those are component parts that add to our happiness. But our scripture reading today, I know it's kind of a long introduction, But our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And I just want to read a little bit starting in verse 13. And it says, "The person who knows right from wrong and has good judgment and common sense is happier than the one who is immensely rich. For such wisdom is far more valuable than precious jewels. Nothing else can compare to it. Wisdom gives long life, good life, riches, honor, pleasure, peace. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who eat her fruit. Happy are they who keep on eating it." What a beautiful scripture. And basically it's saying that when we find and we have and when we use wisdom, we're happy. When we find wisdom, we're happy. Remember Ben Franklin? He said that in the Constitution, we have to pursue it. We have to find it. We have to search it. We have to look for it. We have to seek it. Well, when we do that and we find it, we're happy. Think about it. When you get an A on that test, when you get an A on your statistics test, are you not happy? Are you not proud? When you get an A on that math test, that science test, are you not happy? When you receive a D or an F grade for your efforts, are you happy? And that's why I say diligent, conscious, on-purpose effort. You can't haphazardly go through life. You are cheating yourself. Why take a class and don't do well in it on purpose? Just to take it. Why waste your time? Why waste your money, your effort, your energy? Oh, I'm taking it just because I got to take it. Well, if you have to take it and succeed at it. Do well at it. Everything we do in life. Well, I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to go to work today. My boss hates me. You go and do well at it because you have a sense of accomplishment, a sense of pride, a sense of well-being, a sense of equilibrium that we just talked about. Happiness is a very, very strong emotion. And when we find wisdom and we keep it and maintain it and use it and not just find it, but we actually possess possession of wisdom, when we use wisdom wisely, we're happy. We are happy. And when we acquire understanding by using wisdom, then that just makes our happiness even better. That enhances our happiness, and it takes our happiness to a deeper level. Wow. And I know everyone can relate to this. Everyone knows about riches. Everyone knows about silver and gold, and some of us right now might even have on some silver and gold or have it in their house ready to be worn or used right now. We have silver jewelry. We have silver tea services for our table. We have gold flatware for our table. We have gold and silver coins. We just go on and on with gold and silver, and we know about it. And the Bible relates gold and silver and immense riches to wisdom. That wisdom is even better than all these things, all these precious jewels, and it makes our happiness even happier. And, you know, sometimes we confuse wisdom and knowledge and use them synonymously. But not so. They're not the same. You know, like most people or a lot of people are intelligent, but very few are wise in comparison. Not meaning any insult, but in general, the population is very intelligent, but very few wise men do we have in comparison to the number of people that inhabit this earth. Basically, wisdom is the correct way or the correct application of the knowledge that we have. You know how you have a math genius and he's the professor, but he can't teach worth 2 cents? He knows it, he understands it, but he just can't communicate how to do that. Does that make sense? I know I had a math teacher like that one time, just brilliant. But he couldn't explain. He just knew how to do it. What about the doctors? Brilliant doctors, brilliant scientists, but they have no bedside manner. This is mean and nasty. They know their craft. They know their discipline, but to impart it is just not there. You know, you have a chef that can come up with great, brilliant recipes, but then he can't even put the ingredients together properly to make the dish taste good. Have you gone to these fancy restaurants that, what, $50 a plate, and it's like, ugh, I spent my money for this? We see these commercials, and everything looks so good, so good. Can you get in there and spend your money, and it's like, why? So we're not happy then. We pursued that goal, and it didn't bring us the happiness we were expecting. But we know that wisdom does bring happiness. We keep it, we use it, and our happiness will continue to flow. Acquiring it and understanding it, they just bring different dimensions to the happiness in our lives that we're seeking for in the first place. Wow. Happiness, what a way to go. And I mean, the symbolism that's used in the scripture, the immense riches, the rubies, the jewels, the gold, the silver, it's used in this context of scripture just to show how valuable and how important wisdom is. You can't compare wisdom and immense riches. Riches are nice to have, great, we understand, we would love to have it. But then scripture says wisdom is even more valuable. And as an added bonus, when we search for wisdom and have it, we're going to have all those riches anyway. It will bring about. Do you know how when you get a paycheck, you got a nice paycheck, and it's all gone the next day? Because it wasn't spent wisely? Has that ever happened to anybody besides me? How we waste money. We work so hard, and it's gone. And I'm not talking about the fact that you have to pay your bills and expenses and all that. But just that the money's gone, we even ask ourselves, where did it go? What did I buy? What did I spend it on? Because that's what happened, because when I pursued that money to gain happiness, I did not use it wisely. And that's a growing process. It's a learning process. But it has happened, and I know it happened to me, and I didn't like it, and I wasn't happy as the result of earning and working and missing sleep and putting up with an irate boss and coworkers, and my money's gone in 2-3 days because I didn't acquire the wisdom that required that. We have to acquire what is required in order to make our happiness great, to make it linger, to not just happy for 5 minutes and I'm comfortable now, because my body is in equilibrium, the joy and the spectacularness is now gone. When we pursue happiness by using wisdom, we must nurture it and pamper it and care for it like we do babies. You know, our wisdom is a life-giving tree, like Scripture says, and we have to grab a hold of it. And we just can't grab a hold of it. It's just like we have to consume it. You're hungry. You sit down to dinner. The plate is before you, but you don't eat it. Not because you don't like it. You just refuse to eat it. Or you nitpick at it. Or you pick through it. You know, so what are we doing with the wisdom that we're trying to gain in order to gain happiness? And, you know, you kind of stop and think, is my happiness so important to God? Why? Is he really concerned with it? Scripture says he is, but in reality, is he really? You know how we get sometimes. You know, we all seek it, and whatever different way we're happy, the end is the same for all of us. We're still seeking happiness. You know, some people are happy when they go to war. We have the mercenaries and we have the gung-ho. No disrespect. I don't mean any disrespect, but as an example, we have men that love to go to war. We do have the mercenaries, and we do have those who are happy in warfare. And then we have others who are happy just to avoid it. We have others who are happy just to not be in it, even though they are thrown in it. And to all you service personnel, I would like to say thank you, and I wish you Godspeed and God blessings for you and your family as you protect and service this country that we call home while on earth. We thank you so very much. So, wisdom and happiness and the pursuit of are all so important. You know, the motives may be different, but the outcome is the same. So here we are, all people striving for the same thing. We may be a warrior. We may be a pacifist. We may be a workaholic. We may just be Christian. We may not be Christian. But we're all hedonists. We all search. And we're devoted to the pursuit of pleasure and self-gratification. Now, if you want to be a stoic, forget about the Bible. Don't even think about it. The scripture will have a little bit for you. But if you want to go the scripture way, then are your motives any different? Are your motives any better? You know what stoicism is, you know. It's the time when it's like the principles of logical thought become more natural in the concepts and claims that we have. It's like you think, you know, the cosmos and that kind of logical thought. But see, Stoicism is an active relationship between determination and human freedom. And Stoicism came from the ancient Greeks and Hellenistic thinking. And it's a big word, but it basically means self-determination and human freedom. no different from the Bible if you want to make a difference between the two. The Bible is concerned with determination and human freedom. And so when we act in accord with nature, then it begins to bring about a sense of happiness based on the wisdom that's in this earth. Nothing mystical or strange about it. It just is. And that's why God is not indifferent. The Bible is not indifferent about joy and the pursuit of happiness and all of that. Sometimes we kind of think that God is in this particular box where we have to be in the religious mode at all times, where we cannot live in this earth except spiritually. You're in the church, your hands are folded, you have all the do's and all the do nots that you better adhere to, and we miss life thinking we're doing God's work, thinking we're being a devout Christian, and we miss out on the life that he put here because we're totally lost in understanding and not exhibit the wisdom that God has. And that's where a lot of us fall. That's where a lot of us begin to lose our sense of happiness, because we see God as separate and apart and all these do nots and do nots and do nots. We misquote the scripture, money is the root of all evil. No, it is not. But that's what we think, and that's what we believe. And we will argue to the last day that that's what the scripture says. But it doesn't. The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's why we get in trouble. Didn't say it's bad to be rich. It doesn't say it's simple to be rich. Of course you need to be rich. Of course you need to be full of riches in this world right here. How else can you make someone else happy if you don't have any happiness? It won't work. If you don't have happiness, you can't give it. You cannot give what you do not have. And we always say you can't get blood out of a turnip. And basically that's what that means. So of course God wants us to have these things and to use these things. And when we begin to understand what God says and the wisdom that he has, we begin to take pleasure. And that is the measurement of how our treasure is. You know, our heart is where our treasure is, or our treasure is where our heart is. Which one? Which one? See, our heart can tell us out. When we do something that's wrong or simple, because remember we talked about it's right or wrong, we have to know the difference between right or wrong. But when we do something that's wrong and it gives us pleasure or happiness, it's not really the pleasure or the happiness that's the problem. It's the treasure problem. You know, our pleasure mechanism is functioning just fine. It's what we want to do, or our love of what we want to do, that's out of whack. So despite what our mouth may say or our image or what we do, something else can be more precious than what we're saying or what we actually do in deed and in action. See, when we say something and we pursue something, it's okay. It's what are we pursuing that makes or produces the happiness. That's where the issue is, not the pursuit of it. and it's not the end result of it. But what is it that we are pursuing to get to that end result of wisdom and happiness? And those are the things that we need to think about throughout our lives. You know, because we all know pleasure and happiness is for everybody. We all know that. No problem with that. But what is it that we are pursuing to make us happy? Are we happy when we're beating up somebody? Yeah, we are. I was waiting to get him for the longest, and now I finally got him. Yeah, I'm happy about it. Is that right? So, pleasure and happiness and joy and kindness and compassion, it's like your treasure is, and there is your heart. And that's what Matthew tells us. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. And so as we continue in this life, think on these things to see if these things be so. Are they so in your life? Are you bringing happiness to yourself by bringing happiness to others? Are you the happy giver? Are you the misery giver? Which one is it? Are you pursuing life and happiness and good and kindness and compassion to others? As the week goes by, check it out. And notice your actions. Notice your on-purpose conscious actions. Delight yourself in yourself and see what you're doing to bring happiness to yourself and to others. Think on these things. I would like to say a special thank you to all of you and wish you happiness throughout your lives, throughout this week. As you continue, and sometimes the week might get rough, it might get hard, you might get weary, but don't stop. Don't stop. Keep on, keep on, keep on. I would like to thank our producer, Mr. Donnie Jackson, and for making this broadcast possible through the Black Squirrels Network. This is a way that we can share the love of God. This is the way that we can bring a little joy and knowledge to you, our listener. So until next week, I thank you. I wish you a week full of happiness, joy, peace, pleasure, long, prosperous life. Be blessed in the Lord. Thank you. This is Rose Hart for If These Things Be So.